Hello, this is your volunteer broadcaster, Ben, bringing you this week's Sports Illustrated magazine. In today's program, we're going to finish up a few articles from the March issue of Sports Illustrated, and finishing the program with some articles from ESPN.com and Athlon Sports. So let's get started. The first article I'm going to be reading is the Point After section, Classic Rewind. It's going to be difficult for baseball to top the excitement of the 2025 World Series, one of the most dramatic events in its history. But we don't have to wait until October to see if the sport can outdo itself. The World Baseball Classic returns in March, 3 years after it gave us another signature moment. Shohei Ohtani's ninth inning strikeout of Mike Trout that clinched the gold medal for Japan. Since the WBC launched, Japan has dominated, winning 3 of the 5 titles. The tournament has also been an introductory moment for talent from that country preparing to make the jump to MLB. See pitcher Daisuke Mizuka, the MVP of the first WBC in 2006, who later that year signed a mega deal with the Red Sox, or Yabushibu Yamato, who helped Japan win in 23, and then signed an even more mega deal with the Dodgers. He was the World Series MVP last fall, a reminder that any stars born in this WBC are worth tracking long after March. The next article I'll be reading is Faces in the Crowd by Dan Falkenheim. Tyreek Green, sport, football, hometown, Buford, Georgia. Green, a senior running back and safety for Buford High, had 12 carries for 186 yards and 2 touchdowns, including an 82-yard game-winning score. In a 28-21 defeat of Carrollton High to help the Wolves win the Class 6A state title, remain undefeated, and finish as the nation's consensus number one team. The Georgia signee ended the season with 712 yards rushing on 117 carries and 48 tackles on defense. The next face in the crowd is Sawyer Kate Holgan, sport, basketball, hometown, Rainesville, Alabama. Sawyer Kate, a junior point guard for Plainview High, hit her 589th career three-pointer in a 66-31 win over Kate Duncan Smith Dar to set the national girls' record for made threes. Against the Patriots, she scored 26 points to surpass the 3,000 career point mark. Sawyer Kate, who also has 2 of the 4 best shooting seasons from beyond the arc in state history, averaged 29 points through 22 games this season. The final face in the crowd is James Towdsley, sport, wrestling, hometown, Billerica, Massachusetts. James, a senior at Shawsheen Tech, pinned Hayden Morosolo at St. John's Prep in 1 minute and 15 at the Spartan Wrestling Tournament, winning the 157-pound title and becoming the first New England boys wrestler to reach 200 career varsity pins. It was his 3rd straight title, each at different weight classes. At the event, the 2-time New England Interscholastic Wrestling Champion was undefeated through 21 matches this season. The next article I'll be reading is from SportsIllustrated.com. LeBron James must embrace role player status for Lakers to succeed. With Luka Doncic and Austin Reeves driving the offense, the 4-time MVP is moving into one of the most unusual roles of his career, by Chris Mannix. Los Angeles, late Thursday night, LeBron James, All-Star, All-NBA forward, 4-time MVP, and 4-time NBA champion, sat in front of his locker to discuss his new status, role player. The Lakers beat the flailing Bulls 142-130. Luka Doncic scored 51 points. Austin Reeves added 30. DeAndre Ayton chipped in with 23. The most notable numbers, though, belong to James. He scored 18 points. He chipped in with 7 rebounds and 7 assists. Doncic took 31 shots, the most of any player. James attempted 13, fewer than any starter but Roy Hachimura. said Lakers coach J.J. Redick. I thought LeBron was great tonight. As LA season enters the home stretch, one thing is crystal clear. James needs to change. At 41, James is still posting enviable numbers, 21.4 points and 7 assists per game on 50.5% shooting. But the results, most notably alongside Reeves and Donick, have not been there. Entering Thursday night, the trio had an offensive rating of 109.4. In context, only lottery-bound Indiana had a worse rating this season. Conversely, when James has been out, Donick and Reeves have thrived. The Lakers are 10-2 in games Donick and Reeves have played without James. Playing together, they have an offensive rating of 117.9. They have a defensive rating of 111.6. With James, the net rating is negative 1.1. Without him, it's 6.6. During James' recent 3 games absence, a rival assistant noted that his team believed it had a better chance to win with James on the floor. Absurd, right? It's not an indictment of James, but the realities of the roster. The shocking availability of Donick last February created an opportunity for the Lakers. It also imbalanced the lineup. James, Donick, and Reeves are all ball-dominant scorers. None are considered plus defenders. You can win with 2 players like that. You can't with 3. The Lakers know it. On Thursday, Redick told reporters that he and James discussed his role this week. They had, said Redick, a great conversation over the last couple days, added Redick. He wants to do everything possible to help this team win. He understands the importance of making sure Luka and AR can be their best. That's incredible of him. It speaks a lot to just how much he cares about this team and his teammates, and how much he wants to win. That was evident on Thursday. On the opening possession, James twice passed on shots to swing the ball to open teammates. He didn't attempt a shot in the first quarter. He set screens. He rebounded. He defended. He camped out in the corner and allowed Donick and Reeves to cook. He's been a high-usage player and the number one option his whole career, and I know he wants to win, Redick said. And he wants to do everything possible to help this team win, even if it looks a little differently, said Reeves. He's one of the smartest guys to ever play the game of basketball. His ability to adapt and figure out what the game needs is second to none. When you got a player of that stature that's willing to play the way the game needs him to play, that just shows how selfless he is. He's a leader by example for everybody in this locker room. It can't be easy. James owns most of the NBA's offensive records. He is the most prolific scorer in NBA history. Last week, he broke the record for career field goals made. He has the most 20-point games in league history. The most 30-point games, too. Asking James to play third wheel to Donick and Reeves is like asking Gordon Ramsay to be a sous-chef in his own kitchen. But he has to. James knows it. With Jackson Hayes and Maxi Kleber out, James saw the need to be a screen setter. Hayes is among the better Laker players at rolling to the rim. That's a void that I could put myself in to help the team, said James. With Donick and Reeves scoring, James leaned into facilitating to allow AR and Luka to continue on the things they've been doing. The team is most important, James said. Everybody's successful when we win. So yeah, it is a sacrifice. I know what I'm capable of still doing as an individual, but what's important for this team, I'm able to adapt to what's important for this team. That's the only thing that matters, and the win is the only thing that matters. Even with its bizarrely inefficient lineup, the Lakers have been pretty good. Thursday's win maintained Los Angeles' tenuous hold on 3rd seed in the Western Conference. They will make the playoffs, and any team led by Donick has a chance to win a series once in. but any team with Donick and James on it once more, beating the free-falling Bulls, who have 3 wins since February 1st, isn't cause for celebration. But Donick is averaging a season-best 34.7 points this month. For the second straight month, Reeves is shooting better than 40% from three. On Thursday, Ayton racked up his second straight double-double. Without James, the Lakers played good basketball, he said. Over the final month of the season, they have the potential to be even better. You can build habits. You can build chemistry. You can build a way how you want to play when it comes to the postseason, said James. So every game matters, and the way that you approach the game matters, and the details of approaching it every night. The next article I'll be reading is from SportsIllustrated.com. Caitlin Clark struggles in Team USA's dominant win versus Puerto Rico in FIBA World Cup qualifiers, by Christian Wong. Team USA cruised to a 91-48 win over host Puerto Rico in the FIBA World Cup qualifying tournament on Thursday night, and the woman of the match was Sky star Angel Reese. In her second game for the U.S. national team, Reese recorded a double-double with 10 points and 13 rebounds, while also adding 2 assists in 16 minutes. Other big contributors included reigning WNBA Rookie of the Year, Paige Bueckers, who led the team in scoring with 16 points on 7 of 12 shooting and was plus 25 in 21 minutes played. Both Kelsey Plum and Kiki Irfin also showed up on offense, while Caitlin Clark noticeably struggled. Clark, who recorded a double-double, 17 points and 12 assists, in her national team debut against Senegal on Wednesday, went just 2 of 6 from the field and 1 of 5 from 3. Clark finished with 8 points, 2 assists, and 3 rebounds in what turned out to be a relatively easy win for Team USA. Team USA, who have won gold at 4 straight World Cups and 11 overall, will play 3 more games over the next week against Italy, New Zealand, and Spain. The next article I'll be reading is from SportsIllustrated.com. Bam Adebayo and Eric Spoelstra both gave ice-cold quotes in defense of 83-point game. Bam Adebayo and Eric Spoelstra fired back at critics of the Heat star's 83-point game on Thursday night, by Leon McCone. The Heat played again on Thursday night, 2 days after Bam Adebayo shocked the world by scoring 83 points in a win over the Wizards. The basketball community was still buzzing after the unbelievable performance, yet arguments over the quality of Adebayo's 83 points persisted. Last night was the first opportunity the team had to directly respond to the critics, who claim his performance was diminished due to things like free throws and the Heat fouling, to give Adebayo as much time as possible. And boy, did they take advantage of that opportunity to respond. Both Adebayo and coach Eric Spoelstra were not shy in sharing their opinions on the situation. They collectively fired back at the idea that Adebayo's 83-point game is somehow worth less due to the circumstances under which he achieved the incredible mark. And while the way they did so was unique to each individual, they both had one line that stood out as particularly strong rebuttals to their criticism. Spoelstra spoke first ahead of the Heat's win over the Bucks and was blunt from the outset. He did not care if anybody was upset about the lengths he had his team go in order to get Adebayo to 83 points. I apologize to absolutely no one, period, Spoelstra said. It's a Tuesday night game against a team where they're not playing for anything, where their organization is trying to lose. We've already lost a game in that kind of situation. We have players sitting out, and I spoke to Bam about I want, as our best player and team captain, for him to be locked in and ready. And he sure was. I would do it 10 times out of 10 again for Bam. I'm apologizing to nobody about this. I feel just so awesome for Bam, because he is about all the right things. When at by Tim Reynolds asked Eric Spoelstra about their reaction to Bam Adebayo's 83-point performance, I apologize to absolutely no one, period. The longtime Miami coach then issued an icy quote that delves right into the heart of the debate around Adebayo's performance. I've seen people say you've got to be a purist. I'm a Darwinist in this league. In other words, Spoelstra sees basketball as a survival of the fittest competition, and doing things the right way doesn't matter in the face of success. Given he is the longest tenured head coach in the NBA, he may have the right of it. Either way, a pretty cool quote to fire back at critics in defense of his star. It was Adebayo's turn after the game, in which he scored 21 points. He adopted the same stance as his coach, declaring loudly he doesn't care if anyone is mad about what happened. In the process, Adebayo actually made a good basketball point too. It wasn't his fault the Wizards failed to throw a double team at him until the very end. First of all, y'all are blaming me, Adebayo told the media. You should be blaming the head coach. Get that first. I was not the one that let me go one-on-one the whole game until I had 70, and then started to send a double team. At that point, I had 70 with, 9 minutes left to go in the game? You think I'm not going for it? That's the thing that's crazy when they talk about the unethical part of basketball, he continued. I'm like, I had 70 with 9 minutes to go. Who would just be like, you know, coach, just take me out. Yeah, right. Then the star center delivered a cold line of his own, following in the footsteps of Spoelstra. You can't be mad at that. If you are mad, I don't care. Because a lot of people, if they did play, they never had a chance to get that close to chasing greatness. And if you get that close to chasing greatness, that's the point of chasing it, so you can surpass it. Bam Adebayo responds to the critics and the unethical comments of his historic 83-point night. That is indeed the point of it all. Once Adebayo got close to Kobe Bryant's legendary 81-point mark, he was going to do everything in his power to pass it. What's the purpose otherwise? The Heat obviously believe the ends justify the means in sports. It's hard to dispute that. But based on the last few days of discussion, the ethics of Adebayo's 83 points will be a matter of debate until the end of time. The next article I'll be reading is from ESPN.com. NHL Power Rankings, New 1-32 Poll Fantasy Playoff Pickups by Sean Allen and Victoria Medish. Well, the 2025-26 NHL regular season closes out on April 16th. The fantasy hockey playoffs are upon us, with the postseason beginning in ESPN Fantasy Standard Leagues on Monday. So as part of this week's set of updated ESPN NHL Power Rankings, we've tasked fantasy hockey analyst Sean Allen, Eastern Conference, and Victoria Medish, Western Conference, with identifying a player for managers to pick up to bolster their rosters. How we rank. A panel of ESPN hockey commentators, analysts, reporters, and editors sends in a 1-32 poll based on the games through Wednesday. Note, previous ranking for each team refers to the previous edition, March 6. Point percentages are through Thursday's games. Number 1, Colorado Avalanche. Previous ranking, 1. Points percentage, 75.8%. Valeri Nichkachkin, forward, 1.5 fantasy points per game, 70.9% available in ESPN leagues. Yes, we fully recognize the enduring frustration of dealing with such a promising yet consistently volatile fantasy performer. But right now, Nichkachkin is seeing top 6 minutes while Arturi Lechushkin and Gabriel Landeskog, Conviels, and the largely available power forward is shooting and scoring. Next 7 days, at Winnipeg, March 14th, versus Pittsburgh, March 16th, versus Dallas, March 18th. Number 2, Dallas Stars. Previous ranking, 2. Points percentage, 70.8%. Maverick Bork, forward, 1.1 FPPG, 94% available. Skating on a top line, while Mikko Rantanen recovers post-Olympic break, the first-round draft selection, 2020, is averaging a point per game with loads of on-ice minutes. Along with Roope Hintz, Rantanen isn't due back in the foreseeable future. A bonus offer. In leagues that reward power play points at a premium, veteran forward Matt Dunch merits extra attention. Next 7 days, versus Detroit, March 14th, versus Utah, March 16th, at Colorado, March 18th. Number 3, Carolina Hurricanes, previous ranking 3, points percentage 67.7%, Frederick Anderson, goalie, negative 0.31, FPP 60, 57.1% available. Has the tide turned? Anderson is clawing back his stake in the Hurricanes' crease since returning from the Olympics, earning more starts, more wins, and more fantasy points than Brandon Boosie. Admittedly, the fantasy points aren't massive, but regular starts on a winning team can snowball into fantasy fortunes quickly. Next 7 days, at Tampa Bay, March 14th, at Columbus Blue Jackets, March 17th, versus Pittsburgh, March 18th. Number 4, Minnesota Wild, previous ranking 4, points percentage 66.7%, Matt Zuccarello, forward, 1.8 FPP 60, 60.5% available. Running mate to Kirill Kaprizov, at even strength and with the extra skater, the veteran continues to quietly chip in with satisfying regularity. The perennially underrated fantasy performer, now healthy, is striding around a 0.85 points per game pace this season, eclipsing all other Wild forwards in power play production, aside from Kaprizov and Matt Boldy. Next 7 days, versus New York Rangers, March 14th, versus Toronto, March 15th, at Chicago, March 17th, versus Chicago, March 19th. Number 5, Buffalo Sabres, previous ranking 6, points percentage 65.2%, Josh Norris, forward, 1.72 FPPG, 71.8% available. The Sabres have a favorable fantasy schedule for forwards in the first round of the head-to-head playoffs, including 4 games against some of the league's weaker penalty killers. Just be aware, the schedule turns in the final round from March 30th to April 16th, when Buffalo faces the worst overall fantasy schedule for skaters. Next 7 days, versus Toronto, March 14th, versus Vancouver Canucks, March 17th, at San Jose, March 19th. Number 6, Tampa Bay Lightning, previous ranking 5, points percentage 65.6%. Oliver Bjorkstrand, forward, 1.25 FPPG, 85.9% available. 4 of the Bolts' 8 games in the first round of the fantasy playoffs come against teams ranked 27th or worse in power play goals allowed per game, while 5 of their 9 games in the second round are against teams ranked 28th or worse. Bjorkstrand is locked on the top unit to take advantage of these soft matchups. Next 7 days, versus Carolina, March 14th, at Seattle, March 17th, at Vancouver, March 19th. Number 7, Montreal Canadiens, previous ranking 7, points percentage 64.1%, Jacob Dobbs, goalie, 1.77 FPP 60, 76.5% available. The best goaltender schedules for the fantasy playoffs mostly sit in the Western Conference, but Montreal offers the most upside in the East, with its slate of opponents ranking 7th overall in fantasy points allowed to goalies. Both Sam Montembeault and Dobbs have had hiccups lately, but Dobbs appears to have the edge. Next 7 days, versus San Jose, March 14th, versus Anaheim, March 15th, versus Boston, March 17th, at Detroit, March 19th. Number 8, Pittsburgh Penguins. Previous ranking, 8. Points percentage, 60.8%. Igor Chanikov, forward, 1.14 FPPG, 94.4% available. Thrust into the spotlight with Sidney Crosby sidelined following the Olympics, Chinnikov has responded with 15.3 fantasy points in the first 8 games since the break, 1.91 FPPG. With Crosby still out for a few weeks, the opportunity to stick on the top line in top power play remains. Next 7 days, at Utah, March 14th, at Colorado, March 16th, at Carolina, March 18th. Number 9, New York Islanders. Previous ranking, 10. Points percentage, 60.8%. Braden Schenn, forward, 1.29 FPPG, 71.5% available. The Islanders' schedule is on the tougher side for the fantasy playoffs, but they finish with a favorable stretch, facing the Senators, Canadiens, and Hurricanes in their final 3 games. Schenn has found a home on the Isles' top power play, and both the Sens and Habs rank among the league's weakest penalty killers. Next 7 days, versus LA, March 13th, versus Calgary, March 14th, at Toronto, March 17th, at Ottawa, March 19th. Number 10, Boston Bruins. Previous ranking, 11. Points percentage, 60%. Pavel Zacha, forward, 1.61 FPPG, 68.2% available. This isn't the first time we've highlighted Zacha's underrated fantasy contributions this season, but it might be the last as the opportunity to add him slips away. He has 2.2 FPPG since the Olympic break, including 4 goals and 8 points in 7 games. He can disappear for stretches, but when he's on, he's a lineup difference maker. Next 7 days, at Washington, March 13th. At New Jersey, March 16th. At Montreal, March 17th. Versus Winnipeg, March 19th. Number 11, Detroit Red Wings. Previous ranking, 9. Points percentage, 59.8%. Ben Chariot, defender, 1.62 FPPG, 66.8% available. Through his early games with his new defensive partner, the initial signs are intriguing. Chariot is seeing slightly fewer minutes, yet he posted a +1 rating in his first 2 contests with Justin Falk. Counting stats remain solid despite reducing ice time, including multiple hits and blocks across those games for 3.6 fantasy points, 1.8 FPPG. Next 7 games, at Dallas, March 14th, versus Calgary, March 16th, versus Montreal, March 19th. You're listening to the Sports Illustrated program on Sun Sounds of Arizona. This is your volunteer reader, Ben. Thanks again for listening. Number 12, Columbus Blue Jackets. Previous ranking, 14. Points percentage, 59.2%. Ivan Porkerov, defender, 1.62 FPPG, 74.7% available. Porovov offers top 4 defensive help with a fantasy-friendly first-round schedule. Columbus ranks 4th in D fantasy potential from March 16 to 29th, but the team's schedule drops off late, ranking 22nd from March 30th to April 16th, so make sure to slot him when the matchups are strongest. Next 7 days, at Philly, March 14th, versus Carolina, March 17th, versus New York Rangers, March 19th. Number 13, Anaheim Ducks. Previous ranking, 13. Points percentage, 57.7%. Lucas Dostal, goalie, 1.4 FPPG, 38.6% available. After a pair of wobbly outings earlier this month, the Ducks' number one appears back on track, allowing just one goal in Tuesday's victory over the Jets. Dostal should see plenty of action next week when the Ducks face the Flyers, Mammoth, and admittedly red-hot Sabres on alternating lighter nights. Next 7 days, at Ottawa, March 14th, at Montreal, March 15th, versus Philly, March 18th. Number 14, Ottawa Senators. Previous ranking, 17. Points percentage, 57%. Shane Pinto, forward, 1.7 FPPG, 59.8% available. Without relying on offensive catalysts like Brady Chinook or Tim Schultz as linemates, Pinto is driving fantasy value on his own. In the first 6 games back from the break, he has posted 5 points, but the impressive 2.3 FPPG in that stretch stems from him tying for the Sens' lead in block shots. Next 7 days, versus Anaheim, March 14th, versus San Jose, March 15th, at Washington, March 18th, versus New York Islanders, March 19th. Number 15, Utah Mammoth. Previous ranking, 15. Points percentage, 56.1%. Sean Durzi, defender, 1.7 FPPG, 48.8% available. The Utah defender has been uncharacteristically quiet on both the production and shot-blocking front of late. Nevertheless, Durzi's personal history tells us the dry spell won't last on either front for long. Next 7 days, versus Pittsburgh, March 14th, at Dallas, March 16th, versus Vancouver Canucks, March 19th. Number 16, Edmonton Oilers. Previous ranking, 16. Points percentage, 54.5%. Connor Murphy, defender, 1.2 FPPG, 97.9% available. The block shots are a dependable given. Now just wait until Murphy starts to contribute to the score sheet with a club that ranks second in scoring. Not by the bushful, mind you, but any points will only serve as valuable bonus. Murphy merits serious consideration in deeper fantasy leagues that reward defensive categories along with production. Next 7 days, at St. Louis, March 13th, versus Nashville, March 15th, versus San Jose, March 17th, versus Florida, March 19th. Number 17, Vegas Golden Knights. Previous ranking, 12. Points percentage, 56.1%. Aiden Hill, goalie, negative 0.8 FPPG. 47.1% available. No, he hasn't been good enough since returning from injury mid-January, but if the Golden Knights are to hold any hope of making noise this postseason, it will be on the back of the guy who helped them win a Stanley Cup 3 years ago. Next 7 days, versus Chicago, March 14th, versus Buffalo, March 17th, versus Utah, March 19th. Number 18, Washington Capitals. Previous ranking, 18. Points percentage, 54.5%. Pierre-Luc Dubois, forward, 1.47 FPPG, 70.6% available. He's a great ad for an offensive boost. Just don't expect the party to keep raging to the end. The Capitals have the worst overall fantasy schedule across the playoffs, with the final stretch particularly tough on their power play. Six of their last nine opponents rank among the top 10 or fewest power play goals allowed per game, including four of the final six in the top five. Next 7 days, versus Boston, March 14th, versus Ottawa, March 18th. Number 19, Philadelphia Flyers. Previous ranking, 20. Points percentage, 56.2%. Jamie Drysdale, defender, 1.3 FPPG, 96.2% available. The Flyers' opponents combine to provide the 8th best schedule for fantasy blue liners across the head-to-head playoffs. Drysdale continues to serve as the power play quarterback and has been getting more opportunity of late, leading the Flyers in shots on goal through the first 7 games since the Olympic break. Next 7 days versus Columbus Blue Jackets, March 14th. At Anaheim, March 18th. At LA, March 19th. Number 20, Seattle Kraken. Previous ranking, 19. Points percentage, 52.3%. Joey Decord, goalie, 1.8 FPPG, 31.1% available. Never mind the recent debacle versus the Senators. Decord's quality play is a significant reason the Kraken are legitimately in the playoff conversation, sporting a 10-6-1 record, .910 save percentage, and 2.82 goals against average since December 20th. The Seattle goaltender should net his fantasy manager's positive integers down the stretch. Next 7 days, at Vancouver, March 14th, versus Florida, March 15th, versus Tampa Bay, March 17th, at Nashville, March 19th. Number 21, Los Angeles Kings, previous ranking, 23. Points percentage, 52.3%. Anze Kopitar, forward, 1.4 FPP 60, 54.4% available. With a potential playoff spot still in sight, the Kings captain doesn't want to wrap up his final storied NHL season with a whimper. Skating on a number one line and power play with Artemi Parin and Adrian Kemp, Kopitar has been picking up his production since the Olympic break. Next 7 days, at New York Islanders, March 13th. At New Jersey, March 14th. At New York Rangers, March 16th. Versus Philadelphia, March 19th. Number 22, Florida Panthers. Previous ranking, 24. Points percentage, 53.1%. Seth Jones, defenseman, 1.79 FPPG, 28.4% available. A return to action is on the horizon for the Panthers' power play quarterback, sidelined since January. If he's back in time for the fantasy playoffs, Florida opens against one of the league's weakest penalty killers, Canucks, and has 6 games in total versus teams in the bottom 6 for power play goals allowed. Next 7 days, at Seattle, March 15th. At Vancouver, March 17th. At Edmonton, March 19th. Number 23, San Jose Sharks. Previous ranking, 21. Points percentage, 54%. Alex Nijovic, goalie, 1.2 FPPG, 98.4% available. Armed with a fresh 2-year extension, the Sharks' other netminder has been better than Yaroslav Anarov of late. Eyeing a potential spot in the postseason, San Jose is understandably going to run with the hotter hand in net. Right now, that's Nedovic. Next 7 days, at Montreal, March 14th. At Ottawa, March 15th. At Edmonton, March 17th. Number 24, New Jersey Devils. Previous ranking, 25. Points percentage, 50.8%. Jacob Markstrom, goalie, 0.95 FPP 60, 57.7% available. It's worth taking the chance on Markstrom if you're still juggling your fantasy crease at this stage of the season. But be warned, the schedule is getting much tougher. The Devils face the third toughest slate for fantasy points allowed to opposing goaltenders, including minefields like the Stars, Hurricanes, and two matchups each with the Bruins and Canadiens. Next 7 days, versus LA, March 14th, versus Boston, March 16th, at New York Rangers, March 18th, Number 25, Nashville Predators. Previous ranking, 26. Points percentage, 51.5%. Matthew Wood, forward, 1.2 FPPG, 98.2% available. Does Wood continue to get turns at center on a scoring line with Philip Forsberg? If so, the 21-year-old is poised to extend his recent productive run. If not, forget it. Next 7 days, at Edmonton, March 15th. At Winnipeg, March 17th. Versus Seattle, March 19th. Number 26, Winnipeg Jets. Previous ranking, 27. Points percentage, 48.4%. Eric Comrie, goalie, 1.1 FPPG, 98.9% available. Expect a little less Connor Hellebuyck and more Comrie once the Jets are essentially out of it. An overwhelmingly available streamer, Winnipeg's backup has been exceptional in the past four starts, boasting a 4-0 record, .949 save percentage, and a 1.24 goals against average. Next 7 days, versus Colorado, March 14th, versus St. Louis, March 15th, versus Nashville, March 17th, and at Boston, March 19th. Number 27, Toronto Maple Leafs. Previous ranking, 22. Points percentage, 50.8%. Jake McCabe, defender, 1.75 FPPG, 45.2% available. The Leafs are limping toward a spring and summer off, and McCabe's shot blocking doesn't always justify a roster spot. Still, his stretch in the first round of the fantasy playoffs against the Hurricanes, Senators, Bruins, and Rangers is worth watching. Those teams rank in the top half for blocked shots against this season, giving him a final chance to matter. Next 7 days, at Buffalo, March 14th. At Minnesota, March 15th. Versus New York Islanders, March 17th. Number 28, New York Rangers. Previous ranking, 30. Points percentage, 47.7%. Alexis Lafreniere, forward, 1.54 FPPG, 84.2% available. The Rangers are one of seven teams with eight games from March 16 to March 29th, but theirs come on a lighter night. New York averages just 9.5, other teams playing on nights they have games. The other eight game clubs range from 16.5 to 21.25, giving Lafreniere more run. That remains true across the entire fantasy playoffs. But the schedule gets tougher for the Rangers in the second round. Next 7 days, at Minnesota, March 14th. Versus LA, March 16th. Versus New Jersey, March 18th. At Columbus Blue Jackets, March 19th. Number 29, St. Louis Blues. Previous ranking, 31. Points percentage, 47.7%. Jimmy Snuggrud, forward, 1.6 FPPG, 89.3% available. boosted to the Blues' top line and power play. The rookie forward appears committed to shooting and scoring his way into creating a solid foundation for his sophomore season. Ahead of Thursday's tilt in Carolina, Snuggard has 3 goals and 4 assists to show for his most recent 3 games. Next 7 days, versus Edmonton, March 13th. At Winnipeg, March 15th. At Calgary, March 18th. Number 30, Chicago Blackhawks. Previous ranking, 28. Points percentage, 46.9%. Frank Nazar, forward, 1.5 FPPG, 66.7% available. With the Blackhawks looking ahead to next season, again, their 22-year-old center will be afforded every opportunity to gain additional experience without serious consequence. Such freedom is already resulting in a haul of 2 goals and 4 assists through a recent stretch of 4 games. Nazar is also logging a ton of minutes these days. Next 7 days, at Vancouver Canucks, March 14th, versus Minnesota, March 17th, at Minnesota, March 19th. Number 31, Calgary Flames. Previous ranking, 29. Points percentage, 45.4%. Ryan Strome, forward. 0.7 FPPG, 93% available. Centering a third line and seeing minutes with the man advantage, the former Duck has a goal and 2 assists, including a helper with the extra skater. Through his first 3 games with the Flames, mind you, it's slim fantasy pickings altogether in Calgary as the Flames play out the string on this season. Next 7 days, at New York Islanders, March 14th, at Detroit, March 16th, versus St. Louis, March 18th. Number 32, Vancouver Canucks. Previous ranking, 32. Points percentage, 36.9%. Philip Hornrick, defender, 1.7 FPPG, 43.1% available. The defender currently sits second in Canucks scoring speaks loudly to how badly this season has unfolded in Vancouver. Though young Zeev Boehm will eventually take over anchoring duties on the team's number one power play, the gig still belongs to Hornrick. Next 7 days, versus Seattle, March 14th, versus Florida, March 17th, versus Tampa Bay, March 19th. The next article I'll be reading is from AthlonSports.com. Revisiting Larry Bird's near-perfect shooting game 40 years later. The Boston Celtics' great capped a Torre-Texas Triangle trip with an unforgettable shooting performance on March 13th, 1986, by Thomas Newman. Larry Bird might actually be underrated. Sure, he's a Hall of Famer, a 3-time NBA champion, and an alum of the 1992 Olympic Dream Team. But younger fans probably don't realize how much his rivalry with Magic Johnson elevated the entire NBA in the 1980s. And unless you watched Bird consistently in his prime, you can't fully understand what a relentless competitor he was. Bird powered the Boston Celtics to titles in 1981, 1984, and 1986, and earned 12 All-Star selections and 3 NBA MVP awards, talking trash the whole way. He doesn't rank particularly high on NBA career leaderboards because injuries limited him to 13 pro seasons. It's also difficult to compare and contrast his statistics to those of today's players because the league's style of play was so different 4 decades ago. Bird, one of the great shooters of his era, won the All-Star 3-point shootout 3 times. Indeed, Larry Legend famously asked his fellow competitors, "Who's coming in second?" before the 1988 contest. With all that in mind, Athlon Sports revisits one of Bird's greatest games 40 years later. Larry Bird's greatest shooting game. The 1985-86 Celtics lost just 1 regular season game at home. but they did hit the occasional bump on the road. Boston lost consecutive games on March 8th and 10th, 1986, at Washington in overtime, and at Dallas by 1 point despite Bird scoring 50. The next night, they righted the ship with a 12-point win in Houston, beating a Rockets team they would defeat again a few months later in the NBA Finals. In that game, Bird narrowly missed a triple-double, registering 31 points, 10 assists, and 8 rebounds. After an off day, the Celtics, 51-13, rolled into San Antonio to face the skidding Spurs, 31-35, who had lost 9 of 10 games since Elvin Robertson's historic quadruple-double on February 18th. Bird was riding a hot hand, and it was about to get even hotter. I attended the game and sat in the lower bowl among the 14,180 at Hemisphere Arena that night. It turned out to be the only time I would see Bird play in person. Memories fade, but I don't recall Bird missing a shot. A check of the box score shows that was nearly the case. He went 12 for 13 from the field, including 4 of 5 on three-pointers, and matched his jersey number with 33 points, with the Celtics leading by 22 after three quarters and another road game in Atlanta the next night. Celtics coach KC Jones rested Bird for the fourth stanza. It turned out to be the highest shooting percentage of Bird's career for a single game, 0.923. He also grabbed 11 rebounds and handed out 4 assists. We'll overlook the 7 turnovers and 1 missed free throw. Fortunately, a 5-minute highlight reel exists on YouTube as part of a series on Bird's greatest games. There is Bird stopping and popping a 3-pointer. Then he nails another 3 from nearly the same spot. He cuts to the hoop for a backdoor layup on a pass from Dennis Johnson. And there's another backdoor layup after a sizzling assist from DJ. Then a backward overhead pass out of a double team for an assist to Robert Parrish. Bird springs into action to block a shot. He feeds Bill Watson in the lane. Now he's bullying his way to the basket and scoring 3 the hard way. Next, he throws a full-court baseball pass for an assist to Scott Wedman. A twist and a spin to the hoop for a layup. Another dish to Watson. A contested turnaround jumper. Swish. Another block shot. A give-and-go with Danny Age. Yet another block. Bird makes it all look so effortless. He's doing everything in the first quarter of this one except taking tickets. Television play-by-play man Gil Santos cooed the color commentator Bob Cousy and the audience back in Boston. By halftime, Bird had scored 31 points on a perfect 12 of 12 shooting from the field, and the Celtics led 80-69. At one point, Santos incorrectly references the first anniversary of Bird's career-best 60-point game against the Hawks in New Orleans. That game actually occurred 1 year and 1 day earlier. Nevertheless, Bird didn't sound terribly in awe of himself after the game, a 135-119 Celtics victory. "I know we scored a lot of points in the first half, but we really didn't play much defense," Bird told reporters. "I started out good tonight by getting some easy baskets, and that really helped." Spurs small forward Mike Mitchell scored a team-high 30 points for San Antonio, but drew the unenviable task of guarding Bird most of the time. "Bird can do anything on the floor," said Mitchell, who was playing on painful knees. "He has range past the three-point line, and that makes it tough. They are definitely the best team we've played all year." The Celtics would go on to stretch that winning streak to 12 on their way to a 67-15 record. They ultimately won the NBA Finals over the Rockets after rolling through the postseason with a 15-3 mark. That night in San Antonio is just one snippet in Bird's brilliant career, but as a snapshot, it perfectly captures his dead-eye shooting, versatility, and trademark swagger. The next article I'll be reading is from AthlonSports.com. Steelers quarterback plan revealed amid Aaron Rodgers retirement rumors by Connor Rafter. The Pittsburgh Steelers are in the midst of a crucial NFL offseason as veteran quarterback Aaron Rodgers contemplates his future in the sport. Rodgers threw for 3,322 yards and 24 touchdowns during the 2025 regular season, leading Pittsburgh to an AFC North title. However, defeat to the Houston Texans in the wildcard round quickly ended hopes of a deep postseason run for the Steelers. Almost immediately, rumors began swirling over Rodgers' possible NFL retirement. The four-time NFL MVP is no stranger to debate concerning his career. Reports in 2024 suggested he was considering retirement after a disappointing spell at the New York Jets. In 2026, Rodgers' future remains similarly uncertain. But according to ESPN's Adam Schefter, the Steelers are prepared to adopt an unexpected plan of action if Rodgers decides to retire from professional football. Speaking on ESPN's Get Up, Schefter explained that although the Steelers would like to see Rodgers return next season, the team is satisfied with its current backup options. They, the Steelers, have been open about wanting him, Rodgers, to return. Schefter said, "Everybody on the team, the players, has wanted him back. But the fact of the matter is, it's got to come from Rodgers. It hasn't." Schefter then presented a hypothetical scenario in which Rodgers walks away from the NFL this year and how the Steelers may react. "People won't love this, but I think that they, the Steelers, believe that they have a quarterback prospect in Will Howard," he added. Howard, a sixth-round pick in the 2025 NFL draft, has yet to play a single minute for the Steelers. Nevertheless, Schefter reaffirmed that officials at Acrisure Stadium remain confident in the ability of the former Ohio State man under center to improve under new head coach Mike McCarthy. But does not mean Steelers' internal faith in Howard would not dissuade the franchise from adding another quarterback to the roster. "They believe that Mike McCarthy's strength is developing good, young, smart quarterbacks. I'm just telling you what they think," Schefter said. "It doesn't mean they wouldn't add another quarterback, but they're hoping Rodgers comes back, and if he doesn't, they would then be prepared to have Will Howard and Mason Rudolph on the roster." While Steelers staff would prefer that Rodgers returns to play under McCarthy in 2026, particularly given that the pair worked together for 13 seasons, including one Super Bowl victory, Schefter believes that the team's confidence in backups Howard and Rudolph has prevented any internal panic during this offseason. "It's the reason I think they, the Steelers, don't feel rushed and compelled to go out and add anybody right now," Schefter explained. "Until Rodgers announces his decision, all eyes will remain firmly fixed on the 42-year-old's future." That's all we have time for this episode of Sports Illustrated on Sun Sounds of Arizona. It's been a pleasure reading to you all. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned for more great programming on Sun Sounds of Arizona.